Hello and welcome back to Becoming Mom and Dad. We're still here. There's no baby here yet. So
yeah, what that means.
Yep. So this is week 39 and I don't know, Kaylee will fill you in on how she's feeling.
First I will address the size of the baby, which is alarming. She is the size of a small pumpkin, whatever that means, a small pumpkin. She is averaging, babies are averaging 7.6 pounds at this point. And she's about 19.7 inches long. And then at this point, she is ready to be born. And she also has tougher skin. And that's to help them, you know, be pushed through the birth canal and not be traumatized. So that's all we know for her. She is officially full term now. So she should just come out. But she's not. So
yeah, we've been dealing with a lot of, you know, playing the game of is this labor or not. But so far it has not been.
Yeah. I keep having these, like, I guess more indicators that labor could be starting soon. Friday night I was sitting at my office chair and I started feeling like a tightening in my stomach that at the same time was, I guess, causing like some lightning crotch, which is like that stabbing pain you get like basically in your uterus and in your vagina. So that was kind of coming at the same time. And then I was also feeling lower back pain and menstrual type cramps at the same time. And once I laid down in the bed after this, my legs were also like kind of achy. And literally, if you look up signs of early labor, all of those things are there. So I was just like kind of convinced at that point that I was in early labor. So that happened for about 3 hours. It was happening pretty consistently. Like every 20 minutes, I would get like a surge of everything kind of at once. And then it would go away, and then I eventually fell asleep and woke up to nothing. So.
Yeah, we like went to bed that night. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to bed because like I was ready to be woken up in 3 hours or something saying we have to go to the hospital. And then my alarm went off the next morning, and I was like, oh, nothing happened.
Yeah, it was very anticlimactic. And then when I woke up Saturday and I went to work, I started feeling like a couple like twingy feelings like everywhere. But it wasn't anything too crazy, and it ended up passing. Also, I still have some like lingering like crampy sensations in my legs and like my uterus and my back, but like nothing that's consistent anymore. Which I kind of asked some people what they thought that might be. Someone said that maybe that means it's time soon. One of my other friends said that maybe that's like my body finally like dilating a little bit. So I'm not really sure. I just know that when they've talked about when you should go to the hospital, it should be when your water breaks, if you have any bleeding, or if you can time contractions that are 5 minutes apart that last for 1 minute for an hour straight. So 5-1-1. And that hasn't happened, so I haven't gone. And I haven't been in any excruciating pain or anything to where I'm like, oh yeah, this is obviously labor. So I just keep telling myself with all my symptoms just to chill until I know for sure something's going down.
I know there's like a lot of videos like this that exist, but I saw one yesterday, like just naturally scrolling through stuff of this woman who like got to the OB or got to the hospital, I guess, like she was in birth, and then she didn't make it into the hospital, and the midwife literally, like, her baby just fell out of her in the parking lot, like her midwife had to catch it. And I was like, what?
That's what freaks me out, is like some people legit do not know they're in labor, like even first time moms, like. Because everybody's pain tolerance is different. And I guess that's why I'm always on like high alert, because I know for my mom, for example, she was already very dilated, did not have like painful contractions, and was finally just like, I don't know, maybe I should go. And then she went and then had to have an emergency C-section because I was breech and I was coming out feet first. So I'm just like, and they say a lot of the times you like follow what your mom did. So like if she has a high pain tolerance and didn't really feel labor pain that crazy, that's why I'm like, even my little pains, I'm like, oh, but what if that's labor pain for me? Like, I don't know. So I just get concerned and I'm just like, it's always alarming because you're just like, I don't know if I'm actually in labor or not. And I've heard my OB literally told me a story of someone at our clinic who didn't know she was in labor because it wasn't that painful, and they finally told her to just go, and she went, and she was already 8 centimeters dilated and too late to get an epidural. So I'm just like, okay, well, so I'm just, you know, anytime that I feel like things might be happening like more consistently, even if it's not super painful, I'll probably just go anyways just to make sure. But I'm just like, you never know.
It's funny because like yesterday I was at work, and one of our coworkers was like, oh, like, is the baby here? And I was like, do you think I'd be at work right now if the baby was here?
I even had someone, so I stopped serving, like I stopped waitressing like I think 2 weeks ago now. This is my second week where I haven't waited tables. And I was walking through the dining hall because I still go to work. I'm just not on the floor serving. And I was walking through the dining hall, full pregnant belly and everything. And then I hear customers like whispering to my old other coworkers, like, oh, did she have her baby yet? I'm like, do I look like I've had my baby? No.
To be fair, I think you wore like that sweatshirt. If that's what I'm thinking about, you wore that sweatshirt the other day and it honestly hid your belly kind
of
well.
Okay, but either way, if I had given birth, would I just be waltzing around in the middle of the restaurant without
maybe,
my
maybe
baby?
You had a really easy birth.
I don't know. That just sounds like a lot. So I'm just like, no, still not here yet. And the texts have been crazy. Everybody's blowing up my phone still on when's the baby coming? Is she here yet? Blah, blah, blah. No, she's not. So it's just a waiting game. I mean, there's literally nothing else new that's happened. We just have been in limbo the last like week waiting to see if she was going to come or not.
Well, you went to the doctor again.
Yeah,
but
it was the same. It was literally the same. I went and she's like, oh, you're not dilated. Oh, baby is fine. Like, that was all it was. I will say, I did learn some new information, which was kind of scary, and I feel like if you're listening and you're pregnant or want to be pregnant, you should know this. But apparently, so I'm not dilated at all, and they told me, now my specific clinic, I think, is not like most clinics. I've heard of so many clinics that will ask a pregnant woman once they get to 39 weeks, like, oh, do you want to be induced now? Like, and they just straight up ask them, and they let them get induced on their own choice at 39 weeks or later. Some places make you wait till 40, but either way, most places will offer an elective induction, not one that's only medically necessary. Well, my clinic does not do that. They will only induce me if medically necessary, and they have to make me wait till 41 weeks at the earliest. So I'm just, you know, kind of screwed on that department. So I've given up the idea of like being induced by choice. So basically, if she doesn't come by Tuesday, because that's how close we are, 2 days away from the due date, if she doesn't come by then I'll be waiting till next Tuesday, hoping she'll come on her own between Tuesday and next Tuesday. And if not, then when I hit 41 weeks next Tuesday, that's when they would decide, okay, we're going to induce you or we're going to have to give you a C-section. And this is what I did not know. I did not know that if I was not dilated on my own at all, that it was very hard to get a vaginal birth started via induction. So apparently when they are doing their induction methods, which I'm sure is like, you know, obviously the medicine through the IV, there's something they can stick up there and do to kind of induce it too. They can break your water, all those things. Apparently they cannot do, it's a lot harder to do any of that if you're not dilated at all. So they said it's not impossible, but they said that there is a chance that if I'm not dilating on my own by 41 weeks, that a C-section might be what ends up happening. And I was kind of just like, at the doctor, I literally cried. I was freaking out. My mom was there. And I was just like, you know, this whole time I've been preparing for a vaginal birth, like getting all the things I need for postpartum care for that afterwards and like anything like that. And now I'm just like, you know, unless my body starts doing some stuff on its own, that might not even be happening. Which, to be fair, everybody's different. Everybody and everybody is different. Like, there's not a consistent pattern of how dilated you are and how far in advance you are dilated before you go into labor or what that means. Like, some people go into labor at 0 centimeters and then they fully dilate and it's fine. So if you've talked about that, so I'm not really concerned that I can't dilate on my own between now and then. It's just a matter of, at this point, I feel like she's just so stubborn and isn't doing anything. So I'm like, is she gonna do something on her own by then? We'll see. I was a little concerned, but then I remembered, like, my mom, even though she did have to have a C-section, her body did go into natural labor on its own, so that makes me feel a little bit better. Like, at least I know my body probably will still at least try to go into labor, and as long as that happens, then I can get induced if she's not here by the 17th, which is just, like, I don't even like saying the 17th out loud because that's so far past her due date, I feel like. But yeah, so on the 17th, if I am dilated, they will more than likely try to induce me for a regular vaginal birth first. And then if for some reason that doesn't work, then, or I'm not dilated, then we'll probably be having a C-section. So,
well, at least you're already experiencing some, we've had some weird symptoms. So I personally think that we're close. I'm like expecting it to be like in the next day or two, personally.
Yeah, I was way, way, way emotional this week, which, like, people have said can be a sign. I've had those little pains and twinges and whatever. And then this morning I was trying to describe to Skylar, I was laying in bed when I first woke up, and I literally felt like a giant mass just moving down my stomach, lower into my pelvis. And I was like, okay. Which I felt like she had dropped already, because my stomach did look like it was hanging lower. But now I'm wondering if, like, that was just my stomach getting bigger and hanging lower. Like, because I, like, people talk about they feel their babies drop all the time. And I was like, I didn't feel her when she dropped. And then this morning, like I said, I was laying there and all of a sudden she was moving down. And I was like, oh, weird. And then I stood up and, like, I don't know if I'm gaslighting myself or what, but I feel like my bump does look a little bit more slanted and not as far out as it does, like, angled down. But who knows?
We're traveling like an hour away from our house today. So I'm like a little bit like nervous, because I'm like, don't go into labor while we're an hour away from home, please.
I wanted to have another day of like doing all the things fun, because, you know, obviously I'm not going to be trapped in my house once I give birth, but like I am going to have a newborn. I'm probably going to be recovering. I'm probably going to be experiencing a little bit of postpartum, like baby blues or like postpartum anxiety or whatever. May not want to leave the house. So Skylar will be able to leave the house, you know, and do whatever, but I might be stuck here for a few weeks. So I really wanted to have one more day of just like going out and going shopping, getting a Starbucks. We live like an hour away from the closest Starbucks. So I wanted to get my Starbucks one more time before, you know, all of a sudden I'm, you know, back on off of maternity leave and there's no more peppermint mochas and stuff like that. So I want to do that. I really want to see the Moana 2 movie before I'm trapped here and can't go see it. And we're also going to go to Texas Roadhouse and just do some last minute like shopping. If you're a girl, you know, you like to just go and look at the stores sometimes, and I haven't done that in a while. So we're just going to go do that. And I'm hoping that everybody keeps telling me to walk. Everybody keeps telling me just walk, 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 and she'll come out. So I'm just like, you know, right now it's like 20 degrees outside on the daily, so I'm not going to walk outside. So I'm hoping if we go shopping and I can walk around in some stores, maybe that will count as my walking, because I'm not really trying to do any other type of walking right now. I thought about going to the gym and walking on the treadmill, but then I'm just like, then I'll be rolling up into the gym with a giant belly and I haven't been to the gym in 9 months. So I was like, ah, that doesn't really sound fun.
I think I talked about it last week. I can't remember. I might have. But again, everyone's just like, the number one thing I keep getting asked if I'm like nervous or anxious or whatever, and I'm just kind of, I don't know, I just need it to come. I'm just ready. Like, I'm not really nervous or anxious. I'm just like ready to jump into action at any minute.
Yeah,
just
so get all this those done. Feelings, let's look back at our first couple episodes of the podcast. I feel like all those worries we had about like how the pregnancy was gonna go and like how we were scared of like the baby and childbirth, all of that will go away eventually. I'm sure we'll get some new fears once she's here and like we'll have some new anxieties and stuff. But like at this point, don't be worried about how you're going to feel about birth, because at this point I want it to happen. I would rather be giving birth than dealing with being pregnant another
day. Yeah, the woman gets to a point where all the stress on her body and all that, all the symptoms and all that, just you're like so tired of it. You're like, all right, like just get this over with. And then like for me, for like the guy's perspective, it's like you're so like ready for your wife to like go back to normal. Like I was talking to someone I know up here the other day about he just had like a kid. Well, no, he didn't just have a kid. He has a 3-year-old, but he went through all this and he's around the same age as us. And he was like, yeah, he's like, you just want your wife back. And I was like, honestly, like, yeah, that's how it is. Not that like you're gone or different, but it's like,
I want my life back.
Yeah. You're just always like, you just always feel at least halfway miserable. So
yeah, honestly, and like I keep saying this too, like the last bit of pregnancy is not as miserable as I'm making it sound, but it's just like there are times where like I want to do something, and then by the time I get home, I like really just don't feel like doing it, and like I have to remind myself like it's okay if I don't do that, like it's fine. My emotions can change on the drop of a hat. Like anytime that I'm feeling a certain way, I can be expected to not be feeling that way 10 minutes later. I might have all this motivation to like, I'm going to get this done and this done and this done, and then I'll do one of the things and then I don't want to do it anymore. Or sometimes I'm like, oh, I just want to go home and lay down, and then I'll leave work and then I'm so stir crazy and like amped up that I can't lay down. I have to like clean or do something else. So it's just very unpredictable. That's the best word for it. It's unpredictable, and the symptoms are unpredictable, and it's just kind of a hot mess all around. So
I will say maybe your emotions have been changing around other people, but I feel like you haven't really been that flip-flopping with emotions around me.
I don't know. I had a mental breakdown at work about everybody texting me all the time.
Well, yeah, that and was not around me.
At the doctor, I had a mental breakdown about having a C-section, and then I had to call my... Actually, I will say, ladies, if you're experiencing any type of, like, whatever, don't be afraid to ask for help. I have a therapist that I've been seeing for the last, like, year and a half, and I haven't had a session with her in a while. Because when I first started, I was going every week, then I bumped it to every 2 weeks, then I bumped it to once a month, then I was doing every other month, and then I kind of just, like, now it's, you know, just more of, like, when I feel like talking to her. And I hadn't talked to her since, like, probably, like, August or September. It's been a while, maybe July. But I had to hit her up on Wednesday and be like, I need a session as soon as possible, because I was just, like, so overwhelmed, and everything was stressing me out, and I was... wanted to ask her some advice on how to deal with certain situations I've been experiencing, like, especially, like, before the baby gets here, and, like, how to deal with people and boundaries once the baby is here, and I was getting overwhelmed, and so I ended up talking with her on Friday, and I felt a lot better, which I will say, therapy has been helpful for me. I feel like between when I messaged her on Wednesday and when I could actually talk to her on Friday, I had worked through it a lot on my own already, and, like, I had processed a lot of it, so... but just being able to talk to her and, like, update her and fully get everything out and, like, get advice was helpful. So, and she asked me if I planned on doing therapy as part of my postpartum journey. And I told her, you know, like, I don't really know what I'm going to be like. I'm fully prepared as, like, someone who's already kind of, like, an overthinker and anxious. Like, I'm fully prepared to experience some sort of postpartum anxiety or depression or whatever. And I feel like the more upfront I am about being aware of that, it'll be better for me to, like, help manage it if it does show up. And also, this is, like, a side note, too, for, like, the dads or the partners. Like, you need to be aware of what the signs are of that, which I can't really think of any off the top of my head right now. But I just know, like, you need to be watching your wife. If she's, like, or your partner, like, if she's getting, like, super lethargic, like, not normal, just, like, newborn tired, but, like, you know, very lazy and, like, unhappy and, like, whatever. You need to be getting signs of that, because postpartum depression is very serious. And she just asked me if I planned on doing therapy during it. And I told her, you know, I'm sure I will want to talk to her at some point, because I'm sure I'll be going crazy and have all these kinds of new, like, stressors and anxieties and stuff. And so I told her I would hit her up after I gave birth and, like, maybe schedule one for, like, 2 weeks after. Just to be able to, like, clear my head and stuff, you know, especially once Skylar starts going back to work and I'm here alone. I think it's really important to stay on top of that, especially once you have a baby. I've also heard stories about, like, people that aren't anxious at all having babies and then becoming really anxious people. Like, I follow this couple on social media, and they had a baby last year, and they talked about how the first, like, 2 weeks of their baby's life, they literally would take shifts just staying awake and watching the baby sleep through the middle of the night, because they were both too anxious to, like, sleep and, like, not, like, be able to see her breathing. So they would, like, literally set 4-hour alarms, and the husband would sleep, and then the wife would wake him up and be like, okay, I gotta sleep, you gotta stay up and watch her. And they literally, but they both wanted to do that. They did not want her sleeping without one of them being awake. Just because of the fear of, like, SIDS and all that other stuff. Like, they just were like, no, we're gonna stay awake.
Well, that's like, so. I was, the same person that was saying the thing about, like, oh, like, get your wife back or whatever when, you know, before the baby comes. He was telling me, he had recommended a while ago that, like, we get the Owlet sock, which is, like, you put it on your baby's foot and it monitors, like, their vitals and all this stuff, and it, like, alerts you if something's off. And he was saying to get that, and then, like, he was telling me, like, that he's like, oh, like, you know, when you have your baby, it's like you get this whole new, like, instinct that you didn't know you have. And he was talking about how he would, like, have a hard time going to sleep and stuff, because he said he'd lay there and then he's like, all of a sudden you just, like, wake up and be like, oh, like, I gotta make sure, like, she's breathing, I gotta make sure, whatever. I don't know, part of me is like, I feel like I'm going to be like, nah, I'm going to sleep,
I think even with the Owlet sock, there's just going to be that level of anxiety that you have to kind of get over the first few weeks of, like, your baby sleeping and all that. And it's really hard. Like, my friend who had a baby in March, or I guess April, she struggled with postpartum anxiety a lot. And she, I've just watched her kind of grow from that, but it's taken her a long time. So I'm fully prepared for it, so hopefully I can use my resources, reach out to people, and learn how to manage that, because it is hard.
Because, you know, people say that the whole time you're trying to get pregnant, you're anxious about if you are, you know, fertile. And then when you get pregnant, you're, like, anxious the whole time. Like, hopefully the pregnancy is viable and healthy and goes to term. And then once you have the baby, you're like, oh, we actually have the baby and then it'll be fine. And it's like, no, once you have the baby, then you're, like, anxious about SIDS and any other thing that might pop up with the baby. And, like, just, you know, just its safety in general. So I feel like becoming parents is just, you're not going to ever get rid of that. Like, you're always going to be worried about your kids. And I feel like even my mom has said, like, you know, you're 28 years old and I still get anxious and wonder where you are and, like, you know, worry about you and all this stuff. And I feel like that's just something that when you decide you want to become a parent, you just sign up for.
Which I already, like, I have to say, like, I already get anxious about, like, you know, people in my life about, like, stuff. Like, when you drive anywhere, like, if you go to a concert, like, in far away or whatever, imagine. Like, I always get nervous if my mom is, like, traveling a long way, or even if, like, you know, I've gone, like, a full day and, like, I text my mom and, like, never heard from her. I start being like, oh, like,
yeah, now imagine what's going on? And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, driving yourself around town and you're, and she's not, and she's purposely ignoring you, because I did that to my parents. And
yeah. So I'm about to have, like, real anxiety over that. Yeah.
You're about to be like, she's going to be, you know, and, you know, a lot of the times 16-year-old girls are notably bad drivers, and we're just going to watch her pull out of the driveway and knock something over and be like, okay, well, hopefully she gets wherever she's going, because...
Well, they make cars pretty safe these days.
So. I know, but I'm just like, I just feel like you're just opening a whole new door of anxiety. But the point is, you need to be prepared to support your partner and support yourself and get the help that you need and be aware of it up front so you can tackle it.
I saw a video yesterday where it said that after, like, postpartum, the woman needs, like, 10 hours of sleep and the man only needs, like, 8 to 6 hours of sleep. So I was like, well, I guess I won't be sleeping, and you can sleep a bunch. Because I'd rather you get a lot of sleep and not be, like, going emotionally crazy.
The video said that for babies who aren't reliant on breastfeeding, like if you're doing formula feeding, which is what we're doing, that it's more helpful for the husband to be getting up more, which I'm not just going to obviously make Skylar get up all the time, especially once he goes back to work and I am at home. But, like, I just feel like for the first couple of weeks, I feel like we're both going to be getting up every time because we're not going to want to be doing things alone.
Well, plus I'm going to have to learn. I mean, you have more experience. You've nannied, like, younger children and babies, but I have zero idea about a baby. So I'm going to have to practice.
I feel like the first 2 weeks we're both going to be getting up at least the first few nights because we're not going to want to do it alone. We're both going to be so adrenaline rushed and, like, you know, anxious and excited to take care of the baby. So I feel like that will, once that passes, I don't know what it'll look like, but we did learn that the physical part of healing for the woman, like, actually genuinely needs all that sleep, especially for, like, the regulation of their hormones. Like, their hormones are so out of whack, and it takes a while for them to balance back out after having a baby, so that'll be important to make sure I'm at least resting enough. But I'm sure, like, you know, people always say to nap when the baby naps, which I will be doing as much as I can. But a lot of people I've heard of, you know, have anxiety and then they don't take naps because they're worried about the baby napping. So we'll see what happens, but we're just trying to be prepared for all the stuff that's going to happen. So.
Yeah, definitely, like, the first 2 weeks, you know, I'm prepared to help with everything as much as you're doing things. But yeah, once I go back to work, it's going to be a challenge of figuring that out more, but I think our plan originally was, like, I usually stay up late anyway, so I figure, like, I still think it's a good idea just to, I'll take, like, the late night shift and be up, and then you get up early. Yeah, I think that's, like, the best way to really go about it.
Yeah, and so we'll just have to see how all that plays out. I mean, some babies adapt easily to, like, sleeping, and they can go further stretches without sleeping. Now, obviously, when they're newborns, you're told by your pediatricians and stuff to wake them up every certain amount of hours to make sure they're eating. But, like, after they get past that point, like, some babies are quicker to adjust to, like, longer sleep stretches, and some babies are just stubborn and wake up every hour on the hour wanting to be fed. So we'll just have to see what kind of baby she is and go from there, which I'm hoping she's nice. Please.
One of the guys at work's been giving me tips on how to hold the baby with your controller and put a bottle around under your neck and feed it while you can, so you can still play a game.
Oh, nice. The important stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but that's pretty much where we're at. I don't think there's anything else. I'm officially due in 2 days. I'm 39 weeks and 5 days pregnant. Due date is the 10th. We're hoping she comes before the 17th. So,
I think she will.
I really am hoping she will at this point.
See, the real ironic thing I was just thinking is it's like, when we found out we were pregnant, they told us the due date. And the due date is the same day that, like, what was it, 3 years ago now? Mm-hmm. A tornado, like, went through our town and, like, destroyed our place of work and my truck and half the town. And her due date's the same day. And I'm like, honestly, it would just make the most sense for her to be born on her due date, too.
On the due date.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's, like, very, it's very, you know, rare that babies come on their due date. I think it's, like, 5% of babies come on their actual due date. Because most of them, you know, come when they want and come a little before, a little after. But even my mom was saying, you know, my whole family was convinced she was coming early. I don't know if that was just me or if we all were just
We kind of all gaslit ourselves
yeah,
into
we
that.
Yeah, we all were just like, she's coming early, she'll be here soon, and then she just, you know, still isn't here. And my mom made a point. She's like, you know what, Kaylee? She's like, everything in your life has been very textbook. It's been very predictable. You've always gotten what you wanted. Things have always gone perfectly for you. She was like, knowing you and knowing your baby, it is going to come on its literal due date. So, you know, I don't want to gaslight myself into that because I feel like I'll gaslight myself into that too. But, you know, that's a really good possibility and I wouldn't be mad about it, so...
Yeah, I definitely think, that's another tip is Kaylee, not to throw you under the bus, but she got very, convinced that the baby was coming early. And I feel like that, she got really mad when it didn't. And I was like, and I think one day I told her, I was like, look, I'm like, babies come early all the time. They come late all the time. Like, it's just really like,
even the doctor kind of like called me out. She didn't call me out, but she was like, why would you expect your baby to come before his due date? Like, why would you even think that? And I was like, I don't know. I just wanted her to, I guess. I don't know.
But I think that's also part of just the feeling, you know, you're tired of the, tired of being pregnant.
It is, so. Like I said, I've gone back to this so many times. It is such a selfish thing for me to be like worked up about, but I want Christmas to be good. I don't want to be completely miserable on Christmas. So the earlier she comes, the better.
I'm just happy because now we've
reached... at this point we are fully aware that within the next 9 days, I'm either going to be going to the hospital or at the hospital having a baby. Like there's no options anymore. Like at this point, like... On the 17th, if she's not here, I'm going somewhere, and she's coming out. So at this point, I'm going to have a baby within the next 2 weeks at home.
And now I know that within the next, when I'm off for my 2 weeks, I won't have to worry about working on Christmas. So
have we gotten to that point yet?
I think so.
Christmas 14 days away? I don't know. Is it? What's today? The 8th?
Yeah.
What's 14 plus 8? I don't know. Can't do math in my head.
Don't make me do math on the podcast.
That's the 22nd. So she would have to hold in for 3 more days for you to be off.
I'll just take, but at this point, I'll just take extra 3 days.
I was
going
to say, at this point, I think you could tell them what your 2 weeks are. Yeah. And it could be Christmas if you want it to be. I think at this point...
I'm just going
to
be like, I'll be back at the first of the year, honestly, at this point.
Honestly, I think like... That's a whole other week of us not getting paid.
No.
No, you have to go back the day after Christmas.
I'm still doing some work.
You have to go back the day... The 27th at the latest. Yeah, that gives you Christmas and then the day after Christmas to like you
play
know,
with all my
from
gifts.
Christmas. Yeah, and
I
then,
gotta play with all my toys the day after Christmas.
Yeah, and then you can go back after that. No, but I think at this point, like even if I were to go into labor right now, we wouldn't be going home for like probably 2-3 days. So I think you could say that that you could probably go back.
Oh, also, I forgot I got to tell everyone about my hack I thought of the other day. Yeah, so. I'm going to get, like, when Gemma's born and I'm hanging out with her, I'm going to start, like, she's going to watch me play video games. And then, like, when she gets older, she's going to, like, be like, oh, like, I want to watch you play video games. And then that means I'll have to play video games because she'll want to watch me play them.
Yeah, and then she'll want to play your video games.
That's fine,
too. You'll have to give her your controller, and it'll be annoying because I've heard from parents that, like, oh, yeah, it's fun when your kids want to play video games, but then it's frustrating because they make you do it all for them because they don't know what they're doing.
She's going to be the best female Madden player when she's older.
My God.
Even though I'm not good at it either, but like, you know, maybe if she, that's like one of the only multiplayer games I kind of have that's like, you can have
literally,
just two controllers.
Literally one of my friends that he has a baby, but his baby's like not even a year old yet, but his nephews would ask for his Switch and like want to play a game, but then they walk in every 5 minutes crying because they can't figure it out or keep dying. So I feel like that's also part of like,
that's true, yeah,
the video game was like they're gonna become frustrated and they're not gonna know how to do it because they literally don't know how to read or don't know how to whatever, and then you're gonna have to be like, oh my God, here, like, and fix it for them every 5 minutes, so you end up playing the game for them. But yeah, so I mean, either way, we're both gamers, so
they can use my original. Or she can use my PS2 one day when she's old enough. I let her.
No,
I'll
what
her
you
that.
Do?
Or my
what,
PS3.
You know what we could do? You could give her a controller, say, here, play the game, and then you're actually playing it behind her. That way, she doesn't have to deal with the fact that she's sucking because you're actually playing it. She just thinks she's playing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you just give her a controller that's not hooked up, mm-hmm. and then you just vibe. You know, they make little, like, Fisher-Price, like, controllers, like, for babies to have. Like, they make a lot of, Fisher-Price especially will make, like, toys that look like everyday items. Because, you know, some babies get really weird over, like, remotes for TVs. Like, they always want to hold the remote and mash all the buttons. And so they make, like, baby remotes and baby controllers and baby car keys and baby cell phones. That way, like, if your baby is up your ass about having your items, you can just hand them that.
I actually,
most babies are smart and realize this.
Oh, I saw this video. I saw a video yesterday. I sent it to Kaylee, and it was like this toddler that had like gotten. It was like obviously not under supervision, and it had gotten a broom, and it started smacking the TV in the house, and like broke this like big flat screen TV these people had mounted on their wall. And I was like, you know, I'm like, I feel like I'm not gonna be like a angry parent like a lot, but I was like, that would like set me off. And I'm like, I know a toddler doesn't know any better. Like, it was like a young, it was still a young
kid.
He had
to be like 2 or 3 years old,
but I'm like, it would be just so hard not to be so mad.
Yeah, and that's why I told Skyway. I said, well, and that's just a lesson learned. Until a kid's like of age where they know that that is wrong, like, you know, 5, 6, I don't know, don't leave them alone for that long where they can,
I guess, yeah,
be completely destructive. So but yeah.
Good thing is we have a small house, so it's kind of hard for, like...
It would be hard for her to, like, do something without us knowing.
Yeah, hearing or seeing it or something.
It's not, they always say when the baby's really quiet, you know, something's up too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when kids are, like, in their room coloring on the wall or doing something bad. And then you, like, walk in and you're like, oh.
I can handle the coloring in the wall. Because all you gotta do is just repaint over it real fast. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal, but...
Yeah, but still. It's just, like, headache.
And I know what color our paint is, so we're good.
And you've seen the peanut butter baby, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, like, the reason she went in to eventually check on her two kids was because they were oddly quiet. And then she walks in and, you know, the toddler's completely covered the baby with peanut butter.
So. Oh, I saw one, too. I saw one, also another one yesterday where the kid had gotten a, like, a big bottle of washing detergent. Mm-hmm. Like, for the, and he was just, like, walking around with it, pouring it on the carpet, and then, like, stepping in it and rubbing it around. And then it was funny because the whole time, like, ew, the whole time he was, like, in the, like, living room doing this, and he has, like, a brother, and his brother's just, like,
watching him do it.
No, his brother's, like, watching TV in the other side of the room and is just completely oblivious of what's happening.
When kids are watching TV, they're not paying attention to anything.
And then the kid, like, he's, like, pouring it on the floor in one area, and then he walks over and pours it on the floor in another area, and then he walks up behind his brother, who still has, like, no idea what's happening, and just dumps it over the top of. And I was like, oh my god,
that's like one of those things that's like so annoying because it's like, how do you even go about cleaning that up? But it's also,
oh, it's
like
just soap, I guess,
either,
it's like,
but it's just like,
yeah,
oh my god, annoying.
I don't know if it would stain, like just pouring straight up blue washing detergent on
washing
carpet.
Detergent can stain some things, I don't know, but yeah, I don't know, just crazy. So,
but all right, I think that'll wrap this up for today.
Now next week we will have the baby by then. I'm just kidding, I don't know, we,
yeah,
could be here, we could be here next week, we don't know.
If we're out, if we have a podcast next Sunday, we'll,
I'm just,
I'll be
prepared
surprised
for me to be mad.
Yeah,
so I'm just gonna be like, oh my god, get it out.
But
yeah, so this time next week I will be 40 weeks and 5 days, so I technically still would be, because that'd be like what, the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that'll be 2 days before my for sure having a baby day. So you could see us, you could not see us. Again, we will for sure record something if we're still here.
And so, once we have the baby, I don't know how quick we'll get back to recording.
Once we have
we'll
the baby,
back.
I'll honestly probably make Skylar come on here a couple days after, once we've kind of like spent some couple days as just the three of us for a while and get through that. I'll probably have Skylar come on here and be like, surprise, baby's here, here's the birthday.
I don't think it's a surprise, but
blah blah, but you know what I mean. So we'll do like a little short 10-minute Skylar feature episode of what's been happening and all of that, and then eventually before he goes back to work, I would like to come on here and do like a, you know, labor and delivery story time podcast, and then, you know, we'll do that. So,
and then we can start our second season of,
yeah, we're
figuring
do
out how the hell we parent a kid.
Yeah, so we've decided season one is going to be all about pregnancy. We'll do our birth story, and then postpartum on will be season two until we decide we're gonna do something else. So we'll see, but
hope everyone had a good time listening, and we will talk to you later.
And if not, Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Bye
bye.